Welcome to the Raise Up Podcast with Athena and
Charlie.
we are here to share with you interesting stories about our entrepreneurial journey and the relationships that we maintain and tips and tricks. And this is for anybody that is looking to get on the entrepreneurial journey, or is on the journey, or is just interested in what's going on with the Grimms these days, or is connected to one of our businesses somehow and is just checking in with us. So we're really glad that you're here. And today is a special edition because Charlie and I are celebrating an anniversary this month. And so I get quite a few questions about how do we navigate through marriage and working and family and all of that. And so we're just going to give you a little window into our lives and absolutely just sharing whatever comes up. So thank you for joining us to our episode 15. So, Charlie.
Go ahead, Tina.
One of the things that really I would say is we've been working together really, like the whole thing started when we got married in 2004. And then your partnership with Brent Sanders at BAC, you bought Brent out of the business that year. And we were kind of at a crossroads here. It made sense to me that if we were married and we were joining forces, that energies started to consolidate to some of our main businesses. And at the time, I owned a business and we were starting the advertising business, and we also had the limo and bus business. And so it was like a decision that we made to kind of start to let go of some of these other pieces. And so what was that like for you? Like, I remember like the year we got married, which was 20 years ago this year, and what was going on with us.
Just busy. Pretty busy.
It was busy. I mean, well, it felt really busy because we had, like, I was still maintaining my clientele. I think we were even doing, were we doing car piloting on the side back then as well?
No, I think we're done with that.
Trying to remember what else we had our hands in. And maybe, were we done with the, no, we were doing RV
Well, we
rentals.
still snow plowing.
Yep. We were
Still snow plowing. Lawn maintenance.
painting.
I think we're still doing painting too.
Yep. And maybe RV rentals. I'm trying to
Well, I knew we
remember.
were doing snow plowing because we lost those contracts with.
In 2010.
No, I think it was earlier than that. But, anyways, it's been a long journey.
So it's like that's how it got started, is it just made sense to me that we started to consolidate some of our efforts, because really before that we were running in this parallel line where we had, like, I was off doing my thing and you were off doing your thing, and we just really didn't commingle in any of each other's stuff.
We helped, but I didn't think we were fully vested.
And I remember having, because of where I was personally in my own place, in my own head, I remember having some resistance to moving things into oneness, really, like merging things. And we'd had, up until that point, we'd been together for 7 years and we hadn't commingled anything. Like, we had separate bank accounts, we had just separate before we got married.
I don't remember it being a tough deal with you. I thought it was more tougher with myself because it seemed like we had a lot more than you did. So in the beginning, so I think it was more of a challenge for myself in the beginning because I was building and I was a much bigger entity than when you started off on your cleaning company. You just had a couple of vehicles and some cleaning supplies. We had limos and cars and vans and plow trucks and sanders and dump trucks
A lot
and
of assets.
a lot of assets. So it was a lot of me bringing you in, then I think you bring yourself in.
Well, so talk more about that. Your app, was it like apprehension? Was it, or is it like,
Well, I mean,
what was going through your mind at that time when we're in this space where we're like coming together and we're trying to figure out how to move things together?
I think there was a lot of rocky waters there at the time, and there was a lot of up and down, selfishness on both sides. You were much younger, and you were, kid too, and so there was just a lot of stuff going on there. It was just a lot of business, but your organization skills really helped bring the company up to where it is now, and it was just a lot of moving parts at then, and a lot of youngness on both of our sides. I mean, that was 20 years ago, so.
Yeah.
I was 35, you were 27. So, I mean, it was a lot of maturity things coming up, and a lot of our days back in the days of partying too, back in the day when we'd go out and take the limos out and things like that too. So, it was just a different phase of our life.
Yeah, I remember having to come to a place where I had to make a decision on, am I moving towards oneness in this situation, or am I going to continue in this separate space? And I think that that's really, if you are looking to work with your spouse or you're coming together with a partner, you have to make a decision on where that's going to sit for you and both be in agreement about it. Us coming, or at least at that time in my life, I had had this like spiritual awakening around God and had these like ideas that had been given to me by just some studying that I had done in that faith. And I thought that we needed to be moving towards oneness. And so, what did that look like exactly? And coming from a place where I never really had a great example of what does oneness look like, I felt like we struggled a lot those earlier years because of the resistance that I added to the table with that. I really felt like there was a lot of extra that, now that I understand how things work now, just didn't have to be. So,
Still to this day, there's some of that.
I think
Not as
that
much.
there is this like this what makes especially our relationship what it is that you and I have this like we have this contrast. You see things in one direction, and I see things in another direction. And so we get to have this opportunity to bring that together. And the willingness that we have to really like see each other's perspective is like the story that has come along.
I agree. Some days it's that way. I mean, it's tough. It's working with your spouse is tough. I mean, what they feel is important sometimes is not what you feel is important, and what I feel is important, she definitely doesn't think it's important sometimes. So, it definitely comes to a some battlegrounds. But you try to just pick the neutral area and try to keep it calm and not be mean, not hang up on people, not be, try to be kind.
I think that there is definitely a level of emotional intelligence that when you can work on your self-awareness, that makes a big difference. And I'm sure everybody that is watching this podcast has met people who really don't understand the way that they behave, how it affects others. They have an
Exactly.
idea, but it's not a real idea in view of what others are seeing. And then there's some people that this is my perspective and you don't have to agree with it. However, this is my perspective and you just leave it at that. Sometimes there's nothing that you can do about that.
I agree. It's a tough subject. I mean, it's not an easy subject when you're talking about working with your spouse. I mean, there's good days and bad days, and it's just what it is. I mean, and I don't want anybody to think it's hunky dory or it's horrible either. It's work. It's a work because you get to go home with it, and then you know, and then there's always ups and downs on it. I think it's the best thing that happened for our company? 100%. To some days it's painful. 100%. Some days it's great. 100%. So I mean, it's just try to view it in the best way possible. But it is like it's hard to not think that somebody else can control your emotions sometimes and how things are. But you know, when they are what you feel not being kind, or you feel like you're being brushed off to the side, or something else is more important, that is tough for the other person because the other person feels that this is important too. So it's a delicate balancing act. And then when you get the kids that work with you, it's even more. And then you have your family that works for you, and it's even more. So it's all relative, I guess. It's all relative. So anyways, I don't want to say I'm not enthusiastic about it, but it's there's a lot there and working with your spouse, and it is not for a lot of people. I mean, I talked to other people and they said, you're crazy. I mean, yeah. There's no way that you could work with your spouse and knowing how he is or how she is. And it is some days it is crazy, but some days it's the best. You got to look at both ways of it, and you have to try to regroup yourself when you've been treated not kindly or nicely, and you have to just say, did they really mean it that way, or is that the way that they just are? And some days it's a little tougher to choke down. And today we have a little spat because I wanted her to give me a decision on something that was supposed to be done, and she didn't feel it was important because she was on a different meeting. So she felt that was more important, and so there it was a little bit of a tension this morning, and it's not because she wants to be rude or mean. She just says what she's going to say, and then I'm trying to take care of something. But it's push and shove some days. So I really have I've tried to not get upset and not get mad or get up there, because it doesn't really do any well. But some days you just feel like you're not being heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know this is not one of the cheerful ones that are in air. It is going to be our anniversary, which I'm excited about that. But it is a tough subject to talk about it. And it's I want you guys to know that if you guys are planning on getting business with your spouses, you know, to really have some clear outlines about who's going to do what and what's going to be there. Because sometimes those lines get very blurred, and somebody tries to take the other person's job or do something on that. And the long run, we're trying to do the same thing. We just have two different techniques of doing it and two different styles. And one's not better than the other. It's just two different ways. And then when you get two ATA personality people that are inside there, it's even rougher sometimes, because you're both trying to be the one that's trying to control everything. And sometimes you just got to sit back and just let it run its course.
Well, and you know, when you say trying to control everything, it's like we both want to make sure that this thing that's important gets done. But I really feel like early on, it was so hard because we couldn't cross over that bridge. Yeah, we were probably tripping over immaturity the whole way, but it was this idea that we just could not figure out how to like identify, this is what you were going to do and this is what I was going to do. Because when something would come up and an employee would come and say, oh, this and this is going on, then it just got handled instead of going, hey, did you talk to Charlie about that? That's kind of his area right now. And or, hey, did you talk to Athena about that? And so that was something I think really valuable that we learned. Like, even now, there is this, like, there's things that you handle that I don't even have to call the shop to find out what's going on. Like, you're just on top of it. You're handling that. I don't need to figure out what next cars we're buying. You just handle that. You source the vehicles. You decide what's going to be the best fit for the fleet. You are understanding what's going on with warranties. You have like these close connections with our clients. And before, it was like the waters were kind of muddied and we just tripped over that. And I'll say one of the single greatest tools that helped us with our miscommunication was getting a shared calendar. We have a shared family calendar that the kids see, and we have a shared work calendar. And so it's not my calendar and Charlie's, it's Athena and Charlie's calendar that he can see what's going on, and I add everything in for him, or he adds in the stuff that he needs also. But that, I feel like, just was such a relief when we both got on board with the shared calendar.
I think it was helpful. I don't know if that was the cure-all by any means, but I think it was helpful. It definitely showed where things were at and what we were doing. You know what? It's I don't know what I could give you as advice for getting a business to your partner. I don't know. I don't know if we got it figured out 100% ourselves sometimes.
I don't think that we have it figured out by any means. And part of the reason is because you and I change over time. Like, our minds change about things, our perspectives change. And I think that that's one thing that we have done for each other is we've given each other room to grow into thinking about things differently.
I agree with that 100%.
And that's something that I think I'm always learning something new or trying something out. And that is one area where Charlie has absolutely just like, sometimes he turns and shakes his head, but he's like, allows me that space to like move into that next phase and understand. And that is probably one of the key pieces of living out those raise up values is there. Sometimes he doesn't understand, but he still is kind and allows me to be who I am. So
yeah,
that's good. I appreciate that.
Thank you. You're welcome.
You know, if I'm thinking of some other things that really, we spent a lot of money working with people to show us how much we were on the same page. And in hindsight, I think that getting in front of that for people that are looking to get into business together as like a prereq is to just like figure out what is it that you want this business to be, or like look at it from, okay, if we're planning 5 or 10 years out and we're seeing it here, like how do we get there from here, and like playing it backwards. I felt like that was a lot of what, when we were in these miscommunication conflicts, and that I felt like that's what the counselors were doing, or was explaining how we were on the same page more than we weren't often.
Yeah, a couple more. Yeah, they were definitely talking about we were running in the same circle, but just talking differently to each other. There's a lot of misconceptions about working with your spouse. So it's great because you can trust that person, but the other part is that you definitely have to be mindful the way you treat them and how they treat it, because it affects your whole day or affects your mood for that week or whatever else is, and you try to change it around, but sometimes it's a little difficult and hard, and so you have to be sure that if you're unkind or unnice, that you should probably say you're sorry and try to restart the day and do things, and not just try to make excuses why you can't do things or why it was the way it is, because no matter what, that phone call probably wasn't that important as your spouse, or that whole thing wasn't as important. So you should probably just say, hey, you know, well, this is more important than a Zoom meeting, or it's more important than this employee that I have to talk to for 15 minutes because it's your spouse, it's your partner, it's your loved one. So when you're not feeling that need or you're feeling that love, then you kind of feel resentful sometimes on it. And I just, it's sometimes it's a hard mindset to get out of. So clear boundaries sometimes are good. You know, like we have some other friends that have some other businesses, and their wife runs one side of the business and the husband runs the other side of the business, or two different businesses, but they're commingled, their money, their everything else that is there. It's just, it makes more sense for them to have this part of the business in here, and then the other person runs the other part of the business here, but they're both very lucrative, very good money businesses. They just, There's not a hard lot for decision making, and I don't know how that would work for us on there. I think that we do well together in a whole. I mean, as our company has grown and been more successful, it's been there. But again, some days you wonder if that would be how that would be, you know, because we don't run it that way. So
Yeah.
it's you know, everybody has different personalities and different wants and different needs, and so the way it works out with us usually works out pretty good.
You mentioned you don't know how that would be because that's not the direction we went, and we like to be together. Like, that's
We
another
do.
piece. We like to vacation together, we like to hang out together. Like, having a good day is really like we're driving into work together, we're laughing about something, we're planning, making some decisions here and there about what's going on in the schedule. Like, that's another piece too, is if you were doing something that you like to do, would you want to do it with that human all the time?
It's helpful.
That is very helpful. And so that's one aspect of our relationship where that brings us together, because we actually like to be together. And when we're not together for an amount of time, then that tends to like not do as well for either one of us, because we really just, that's part of our enjoyment of life is being together. So that's something else to think about if you're already saying to yourself, man, when is this person gonna like go somewhere? Then maybe that's not somebody that you want to jump into a business where you could be working around the clock together, especially in crisis situations or bursts of busyness.
Yeah, it's 24/7 for us. I mean, it's all the time. So, I mean, and it is great. It is great. And then when there's those little periods, it's kind of a little bit there, and it's kind of getting out of the funk. And then usually one of us will get the other person out of the funk, and then it's back to good again. So, again, it's not horrible by any means. It's great. Our company runs very well together, and we work well together. It's just you guys have to know that there's going to be some low spots, and how do you get out of the low spots? And that's the trick. It's anything else. Just like when your company's in a low spot, how do you get your low spot out? How do you help your employees get into a raise up level and make them feel better? So it's always a constant. We are the number one. Somebody said it the other day. We're the number one domino. We're the one that stops the fall from happening. We are the one that is going to trigger everything else to be a better day and get everything complete. And if we're not that way, then when we come to work, then our employees are not that way. So we have to have that mindset that we're going to be solid, we're going to be positive, we're going to come in here and we're going to have a good day, and all of our employees are going to have a good day. And I think that's the mindset that we come with almost every single day. There's some days that we fall short, and some days that we have to make it up. So it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot of, especially when you have over 235 employees that you're maintaining. They do drain a lot of your time, and then everybody, you have those key employees that need a little bit of time here and there, and you know, it's 15 minutes there, 30 minutes there, an hour. And we have some employees that you have a half an hour meeting with, and it turns out to an hour and a half because you're dealing in all their problems and all their situations coming on. And then sometimes I feel like Athena and I run short on each other for each other in time, because then by the end of the day, it's a 15-hour day or whatever else it is, and we're trying to have our time, and then our kids are there, and then the kids
Yes.
take up the other part of it. So sometimes when we go on our trips, that's the best trips we get, because sometimes our work trips are turned into our
Our
alone trips.
trips,
Yeah,
yes.
our alone trips. And it's not somebody saying, hey, what are we going to do? What's for dinner? What's for lunch? What's next? What are we going to play? And that's our kids, because you know, they're trying to plan out their time and what
Yeah.
they're doing. Then we don't have the employees saying, hey, when are we going to get this? When are we going to do this? And when is this going to change? Are we getting new vehicles? What's going on? You know, so
I
there's
got
always
an
that.
idea.
Yeah, so there's always that. That mix of things coming at you. So you have to guard your time sometimes. Sometimes you have to tell somebody. I just had an employee that was up there, and he was wanting to yap around. I said, hey, I'm going to be late to a podcast, because I love timeliness. I hate being late to anything, and I don't think anybody should be late to anything. So that is a pet peeve that I have. Like, my vehicles have to be clean. They have to be nice. The uniforms have to be nice on the employees. This is some of the pet peeves that I have to. So Sometimes I have to tell my employees or tell the other people, hey, I have to go. I have to get off the phone, or I have to go because we have an appointment to make and we have to do it. And so it's important for me. So sometimes I have to cut them short and I tell them it's nothing personal. I have to go. But they had their way. They would take 2 hours of my day. And I don't know if we would accomplish a whole lot besides them getting some stuff off their chest. And some days I have to stop and let them do that and let them do it because they have to decompress what's going on in their head. But it can't be every day.
Yeah, and one of the processes that we have for our team to be able to communicate stuff that they need to say is HR has a calendar that anybody can schedule a meeting. And so then it's just their focused time, and it's not something like, because that happens with us too, is it's one of us wants to like get a decision made or answer a question about something, and then we've got this schedule going on, or there's a client meeting, or responsibilities that we have, and it can't always be that crash your schedule and get this answer and then have the expectation that, oh, well, you don't care about me. Like, you don't want your team member walking away and going, oh, you must not care about me because you're not making time for me right in this moment when I need you to make time for me or when I want you to. And so sometimes the answer that I'll give to that is, I want to be able to give you my full attention and talk to you about this with focus. I have these other things going on today, and I really would like to circle back with you. Can you meet me at 3 o'clock? And I'll be back at the office or something like that. And that usually helps. It of course doesn't satisfy them right then and there, but it does help to just be able to communicate that. And that's why I think our schedule together has been so great, because it's really easy to see when we're in meetings now and with what's going on. And then it's not just, oh, somebody's not answering my phone call. Because I know the stigma with the running joke with husbands and their wives' cell phones is like, is what? They
She
don't
never answered
answer it. I think every husband that I've ever heard mentioned cell phone and
Dude,
wives.
let it be some female that you haven't talked to in 6 months, and all of a sudden that phone gets answered. But if your husband calls, you're like, oh, I can just talk to him later. And you hit the do not disturb, or I'm busy, or I'm that. And then I come around the corner and I hear what she's busy with. And I'm thinking, what the hell is she doing? Why is she not answering my call? She's busy with nonsense right now. But.
This is one of the pieces where he mentioned earlier that sometimes we don't agree on what's important, and really it's like also identifying the difference between urgent and important. And one of the things that I really appreciate about Charlie is that things can be urgent for him because he's wanting to get that thing done and get it off his plate so that he can move on to the next. And then he doesn't have to try to remember to follow up. And I can totally get that. There's some things that absolutely make
I need to
sense.
check off my list. I hate leaving it out there, like owing money. I hate owing money to anybody. When I have to chase down my clients, or I have to chase down, not my clients, my vendors to pay them, it makes me cringe. I have a medical vendor that we have, and we buy, $50,000 pieces from them, and I gotta chase them down to give them the money because I want to make sure that that's off my books and nothing happens. They're like, oh, don't worry about it, we'll get it to you. And then it's like 3 months later, and they're like, hey, we haven't got paid for this. I'm like, look at your emails. I've sent you six emails to try to pay this thing. You haven't sent me an invoice yet. So stuff like that tends to, because as we were younger, we didn't have that cash flow coming in. We didn't have that. So we were always worried about making sure everything was on time and trying to get it there. And now, right when a bill comes out, I want to pay it immediately. I don't want to wait any time. I want to make sure that it's paid because we have money in the account. We have things. I don't want people wanting to know if their money is coming. I want them to know it's instantaneously. If they get it done, we're going to send them a check, or we're going to give them a Visa immediately, and it's taken care of. Because I would love that as a vendor too. I would love to not have $1 million or $2 million in
ARs.
AR sitting out there because somebody else is waiting 6 months and thinks that we have enough money to go ahead and hold that. So it's tough. But I am completely happy that I'm married to my wife, Athena. And this is a tougher subject for me. So if I don't look as
It's a little more
peppy.
Transparent.
Yeah, it's transparent. And you know, the one thing that we don't want to tell you in all this stuff is just say, hey, we're all, everything's peaches and roses here. I mean, some days it's not. But the truth is that we work through it together. And even though some days I'm low and sometimes Thina's high and vice versa, and when I say that in attitude levels, that was we try to bring each other up and trying to love each other and then respect each other and then do the job that we need to do. And, you know, it's been very nice that God has given us so much responsibility and so much wisdom. I guess I don't know, wisdom, just so many experiences in our life that we can share with others.
Yeah.
And gave us the responsibility of taking care of others and their livelihoods and their decision, what's going on in their life, and be able to help our family members in crises or jobs or whatever else it is. We're very special to be able to do that because there's a lot of people who just don't have those resources to be able to do that. And so I feel like we have to be good stewards of it. But on top of that, we can't let it get to a point where it affects us, because when it starts to affect us, then it affects everything. Then it affects our kids and everything else like that too. So we have to be mindful about it. And I think you as viewers, you have to be mindful of what's going to steal your time. What's gonna take time away from what's more important. And as we are getting into our years now with BAC and AMT, we know our time is important too, and our time is very important. And you know, the job, not every job has to be done. And 5 years ago, you would ask me that question and you're like crazy. If we have iron on the ground and there's employees to be doing it, then we need to be doing that trip because that is revenue that we need to take in. But all the time you think of that, time is, there's no real value on time. There's no real dollar amount you can put onto
it.
No,
it's like priceless.
It is, it's priceless. So your time is important too. And we appreciate those employees that put overtime in and want those overtimes and those things. But as we try to do it, we try to respect their hours too and not bug them as much or call them in or have some things. Sometimes we just have to turn down trips. So I'm glad that I get that time away with my wife, that we join these groups and we do some of these things and we get out of here, because I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to leave during the summertime. And we have another trip coming up in July. Mm-hmm. That I'm not super excited to go to 114 degree weather, but I know that we're going to get some alone time and where kids won't be there and we'll be around other adults or like-minded people that are going to
encourage
be fun.
Us.
And yeah, we're going to
encourage them.
So it helps. Yeah. It definitely helps.
And I think that that's probably another key, is getting connected in a group that is going to encourage you in your business and your marriage. Sometimes you can find, like we're part of a business group that has couples and singles, and we tend to gravitate towards some of the couples, but we also have a few that we connected with that are singles, and they just kind of, you know, pal around with us too when we're going to these meetings. But that's probably a bigger piece here, is it's like guarding your time can look like making sure that you're not allowing that energy to get sucked out of you to where when you go home, like last night, for instance, you haven't been feeling as well because you pulled out a rib on the boat last week. And I come home and it's like 8 o'clock at night and the sun is still up here.
Okay. 10 o'clock at night.
10 o'clock, because that's right. I volunteer for this.
Almost team. 10. It was 10:45 and she wanted to start changing out rugs. Let's look at the furniture and change rugs. I'm like, we were up at 7 in the morning. I'm like, really today, right now, 15 hours into this? And I'm like, I'm out. I'm tapping out. And she was like, yeah, we're going to get this and get this. And our son's looking at her like she's crazy too. And I'm just like, but you know, we get these bursts of energies and she's got this mind, and I let her have it. I just said, well, fine, I'll just go to bed.
You know, it's not even about bursts of energy. It's that I'm just not, I left the volunteer job and drove home, which is about an hour and 15 minutes. And my thought was, is I have this older rug in my living room and I had a newer rug that I don't currently have a place for. And so I wasn't feeling tired or like drained or whatever. And I'm also not injured, so that helps too. But yeah, and so it's like we have those moments where one of us is feeling one way and another one of us is feeling another way. And that is an example of how you're just like, I'm thinking to myself, this rug change out is literally going to take me like 15 minutes tops if I can get the couch put back together. And one of the kids helps me. Because I knew you were out because you were injured. So
Have you guys seen this weird post? I mean, I'm putting this down here because I was on the boat the other day and I was leaning over and a rib popped in, a rib popped back out and laid me flat on my back for a minute. So it's been a little bit tougher. So sorry about I'm a little bit uncomfortable position. I'm just trying to get in a position of comfort. So, and the thing is right. Just the other day she came home and she was wiped out after we came back from our trip and I was up and I didn't go to sleep as fast as she did. And so sometimes you don't have those same sleep schedules. We try to go to bed around the same time with each other because we have to have our time. And so some days one of us goes to bed before the other one, and then she'll like, "You didn't tell me you're going to bed." I'm like, "I did, but you just didn't hear because you were in your world, or you were listening to a podcast, or you were doing something with the kids, or something like that." And so we try to stay on each other's schedule.
Well, and that's a good point. Staying on the same schedule, that is another thing that helps us. And then also, I would say communicating, like if one person's leaving or one person's doing this, or they're like going outside and shifting gears, it's we seem to have this like roll call at our house, especially with our teenagers, where if they only see one of us, then the first question they ask is,
Where's the other
"Where's the
one?
other one?" And it never fails. And it'll happen several times a day. Where's mom? Where's that? Where's that? And so
I want to make
it's,
sure they're not missing out on something.
you think that's it?
They're just doing roll call, figuring out where everybody's at so they know where they want to go.
Yeah, I think that's more it, is they want to know what the other person's doing because they might want us to buy them something. They might want to go with us, or they might want to go with the other
They
one.
track us. They track us. They always ask us where we're at. And I said, "I'm at Starbucks. What do you want?" And she's like, "Will you give me this?" So.
That's true. And I think part of why that is true is because Charlie and I, we have our schedules within our calendar, but we have the flexibility to change our schedules and switch around things. And the kids know that sometimes we'll just change our mind about something and we'll be like way over here now. And that's one of the freedoms that we enjoy in this entrepreneurial journey together, is we can just decide, hey, we're going to do this thing. And then we don't tell the kids because we don't usually tell them what we're doing unless we have like a little quick recap on this is what's happening for the weekend. Because I think they ask us like 100 times a week.
Yeah,
So
but somewhere like we're going on a trip or something like that, they'll bug us to death about it. So same thing you got to do with the grandkids and everybody else. Same thing you got to do with employees. Everybody wants to know. They're on the now program. They want to do it now. They want to know now. They want all the information.
more keeping them guessing.
Yeah.
Which can be fun sometimes, especially when we're the only ones who know what's going on sometimes. So
Well, if we do, we know most of it. We don't know all of it. Excuse me.
we kind of have like a rough draft in the back of our minds, but then as it's like being open for opportunities. So if there's a new opportunity that presents that sounds really cool, we can flex and go, head in that direction. Whereas that can be really hard for some people. And that's something to consider, is that if your partner is just really fearful and rigid about, like, I don't want all that spontaneity or that variety, then that's something you've got to get on the same page with, absolutely.
A lot of people have problems with that. Well, I mean, a lot of people have to plan out their whole entire trip from the day on. I mean, we usually try to plan out at least the next
The first,
24 to
we're only
48 hours.
sleeping the first night, and then we figure it out from there.
Well, weather's a factor, everything's a factor. And
Yeah.
I mean, it's always been in our business that we always kind of let it come first. So we always kind of see what's going on. But now it's kind of like now we come first. So it's like, what are we going to do when we get there? How's the weather going to be? What's going to go on? What kind of car are we going to rent? What are we going to do? We just always get the first 24 to 48 hours taken care of because we know we're going to be tired after, of course,
Traveling.
leaving from Alaska to go anywhere warm is about a long trip. And then we get there and then we just kind of roll out from there. And that's one thing I really do appreciate with Athena is that we can just roll out, or we can just say, "Hey, we're tired. Let's go book a trip to Hawaii in 3 days and go take off." And then we call our favorite person, Sherry, and she makes the place happen for us. And we go down there and we just get away for 5 days or 6 days and just get that reset. And in a traditional job, it'll be a little bit tougher to do that unless you have an amazing people you work for that can
Afford to lose
absorb,
you for that long.
absorb or lose
Yeah.
you that long. And sometimes you just have to have those resets. So in the long run of this thing, I couldn't think of a better partner, 99.9% of the days. Now there's that 1% that you're just thinking to myself, "Holy tamale, what the hell did I get myself into?" But in the long run, it works out really well for us. It We don't get spun up on things that we used to. Used to be if anything was spent in a certain amount of money or something happened that we'd have to make sure. And then we still do on up to a dollar's amount. But for the most part, we're on the same page of what we're doing, where we're buying things, what we're doing, how we're buying them, what we're going on, how we're going to get employees in, how we're going to, how much more management staff we need to bring on, all those things. You know, we're pretty much in there. And then we talk about the raises, where we talk about bonuses, we talk about those things. And we always look at our employees as we want to treat them the way we want to be treated also. So,
you know, I think something also that really launched us into that next phase of trust was getting out of debt.
Yes.
Because there was times where we wouldn't be on the same page about buying things because we had this debt load to service. And when that happened and we like made the decision that this was not going to, like, we're paying off debt and we're getting out of debt and debt's not going to be a thing, that I really felt like almost like I relaxed a little bit more around that.
Sure. You were a different person after I did it. You know, being in debt to anybody, we had a little bit of IRS debt and bring it out because it's something that I think you as business owners need to realize is that it's really easy to skip a 941 payment and have that extra 50 or 60,000 in your account to do something with or something like that. And you skip enough of those and I tell you, the IRS comes knocking on your door and telling you that you need to pay that. And I'm not ashamed of that fact that we had that problem because I think it made us into a better company and who we are now. We would have never seen that 10, 12, 15 years ago, because it was really financially disability. It was like we had a handicap always on top of us. But,
yeah,
you know, we got into
bondage.
It was bondage for sure. But getting ourselves out of that and never getting ourselves back into it and didn't having the credit rating we do and the homes that we own now and the investments that we put into. And that was just a huge part of it. And I think another big part of what our one of the things that really made us a little bit more successful in this last four or five years was the pandemic. The pandemic was really big and we were really, nobody really knew what to do. And I think that just us sitting back and re-collaborating, because we were like, okay, we're gonna have to cut costs, we're gonna have to do this. And we basically just said, hey, let's wait 24, 48 hours and let's see where we are with this before we make any hasty decisions. And then we just looked at it and said, you know, how can we capitalize on this? How can we be more of a partner? How can we help people? How can we do things? And what does this really look at? And what's the investments we need to do to get safety gear? And we really went into high gear and just saying, telling our clients, hey, we're here. We still got to get people from point A to point B. How are we going to do this? And being a lot of other people weren't gung-ho to jump into that arena, we were very much so to be able to capitalize on that. And then we helped other people in our industry throughout the Lord of 48 to jump into these things too, because there were so many opportunities to really to work with people and be a partner with them. And it really pulled us through. And knowing the employees that were able to keep their homes, keep their cars, they weren't getting laid off, they weren't having all these other issues, it was really huge. And knowing that we were working alongside of them. So when I say all that, I think we've talked about this in our previous podcast, that this is just another thing that made us stronger, better, and realize how we can work with ourselves more. And instead of taking this situation and where a lot of other companies, like, we're just going to shut the doors, not do nothing, and we're going to wait for this to go back, we really looked at it and say, how can we make this safe and how can we make this better and how can we not have that problem? And it really made us even work that much closer together and making the decisions that we did.
Yeah, that I think not having a debt load like some of the other organizations had probably gave us a little more confidence to make some of those decisions, because we weren't in this spirit of fear around, oh my gosh, how am I going to make this payment? And is somebody going to come and take this? And we didn't have that. We were able to make decisions based on what was best for the organization and the team and servicing the customers.
Well, owning all of our own vehicles at that time, and still in the same place where now we own all of our vehicles, we didn't have that debt load. And if we had to take a vehicle off or three or five or take them off insurance, we could, because we owned them outright and we didn't have a bank under the back of us. And we didn't have our house tied up to it. We didn't have our mortgage or other people's parents' mortgage set, because, you know, you build so quick, so fast sometimes, and the money's rolling in, but then something happens and a hiccup and all of a sudden you're in panic mode. And we weren't in there. We had cash flow. We had money set aside. So we were in a different position, but we knew it would only last for so long, and nobody knew how long the pandemic was going to last.
Yeah,
so
it wasn't unknown,
that wasn't
sure.
That wasn't a long-term program. Is we had to figure out how we could be useful and how we can make it work. And AMT really came in long with that during the ambulance side, so we really had a lot with that. And then BAC really jumped in too. So it was really a good combination to have both of them at that time. We were really strong on that in that period. So another thing that helped us get to where we're at now is the partnership that we had that and seeing eye to eye. So not all pandemics turn out to be horrible for everybody. And it was a horrible pandemic, and it was a horrible thing for so many people that they lost and loved ones. But the other part of that was that how many people really were able to stay afloat and be able to get to that. So, and then it taught us lessons about how to manage our money. I mean, and it's funny as I say that with our industry, but everybody's like, I'm never going to get back into that now. And now I see all these guys buying these $600,000 motor coaches and doing all this stuff, and they're getting themselves back into that thing because the money's good and everybody's doing well. But and again, we try to have a different lifestyle in that. We like to try to own what we have and don't buy outside of our means.
We do own what we have.
Yes.
Yeah.
We try not to get ourselves in any kind of debts that we can't pull ourselves. Real estate's pretty much our only debt, and we don't have a lot of debt in that. So,
you know, I would say that making these strategic moves to where there isn't something blocking you in between your relationship, like debt, because one person can be like, oh, we shouldn't be treating ourselves. It's like it creates this perspective that you're kind of playing it small because you want to be conscientious of this debt and getting done with the debt. And so there was a lot of times where I felt like I was holding us back from really a lifestyle or enjoying ourselves a little bit more because we had this over here that we needed to take care of. And I really felt like when we removed that obstacle, that opened me more to having more fun. I didn't feel like I was as much fun before that because I had this space in my head. And it wasn't as easy for you. And then I would be like upset with you sometimes, especially when we were younger, because I'm like, I'm clipping coupons over here and you're like just doing your own thing, you know.
Now it's the opposite. I'm clipping coupons and she's doing her own thing over here.
You know, I don't think it's the opposite. It's just that there's just things that when you decide that you want to have in your life, and if you can afford to have them, then why don't you have them?
Like, and I agree with that.
If it's bringing you happiness, if it's bringing you joy, like Charlie, I remember the first time he bought a massage chair for the house. He felt really, I could feel the energy that he was like wanting to justify this purchase. But I was like, hey, if you use it every day, like, I don't care. If we're going to buy it, like actually use it. Don't let it be like this gimmick that is just cool for the minute.
Well, let's go back to that. I bought that as a Christmas gift for the family.
Yeah, that's how it starts.
That was the first one.
For you guys, it's like, oh, this is for the family.
And all the family used it, and all of our friends used it too. So it was very well used. And it was very easy to be able to get the second and the third and the fourth massage chair from those because we ended up getting more. And then we sold one of the other ones and we kept some of the other ones. So, and to this day, everybody uses them too. So
it's something that is absolutely used, but it's like, I think that as time went by and we kind of like moved into this new phase of not having the debt load over us, that those little luxuries were just not even something that created headspace for either one of us anymore. And that's been nice. And I remember the first, like when the dust kind of settled and we wrote that last big check for our debt load, some time went by and I was like, hey, I think I'm going to buy a new car. And he's like, okay. But I had never, like we had bought fleet cars. And there was a season where we did drive some of the fleet cars earlier on.
I never hear about those new back in the day either. We always were secondary. We were the secondary market people.
But that was like my first brand new car that I bought for myself to drive. And
it was a Hellcat.
Yeah, it was a Hellcat. And that was a really nice car. And that car brought me a lot of joy. And I know that you know, money can't buy happiness, but it sure can take care of a lot of things that can
I don't agree with my happiness.
Bring you joy.
He brings you joy, which is happiness.
It is. It is a sliver of happiness there. So the point of all this is that I think it takes a solid commitment that you're on this journey. And there's been times where I've felt this. It's like whatever happened when we were younger, we had this like ability to say we're not giving up, even when it looked like it wasn't good. And we had grace for each other in each one of those moments. And then the rest of it, we kind of like tripped through. And like you get older and then you start to see patterns that no longer serve you in your relationships. And you start like deducting those patterns and overcoming those patterns. And I think that is really where the joy starts to shine through, is when you're like, hey, you know, I have this pattern of like withdrawing, or I have this pattern of having this I don't care attitude or whatever. And it's really, it doesn't bring you closer together. It just...
It doesn't serve you.
No.
It doesn't serve you in the long run.
And I think getting around others who are equally like identifying their own patterns and wanting to be their best self.
Like-minded.
Yeah. That encourages you to keep moving on. And sometimes gives you extra like ideas and strategies.
A good core group is always important, and good mentors and people that you can look up to and talk to and have real talks, and they can have real talks with you. And that's you know, that's important, because somebody needs to call you on your shit once in a while.
Yeah.
And if nobody does, then you think it's real. And sometimes if it's not, then they need to call you on it and say, hey, you know, you need to really look at this, and is this you or them? You know, and then those are the true talks. Those are the people that are really your friends. The people that just tell you, oh, you're doing such a great job and you're doing this, this, and this, and you're so awesome, are good surface friends. And they might really feel that way, but you need somebody that's going to call you on your stuff and say, hey, this is not good, Charlie, or this is, you know, hey, you're doing a great job, but you need to look at this, or you need to look at these other feelings, and hey, you're screwing up, you know. And those are the people you need by your side, because those are the ones who are going to tell you honestly. The people that just tell you how great you are and how everything else is just so picture perfect in your world, none of our worlds are perfect, you know. They're as best as we make them. And you can make your world much better, you can make it much worse, but you have to have key people as your wife or your kids or whatever else it is too, that can call you on your stuff too. And it's important, you know, that's the important part. And then mean it into a way that is not hurtful or not mean, but it's, they're trying to bring it at a point saying, hey, if you didn't notice, this is what's going on. Because sometimes we don't.
Yeah. And I would also say that having your, like being in business, there's team members that are working under our umbrella, but they're not necessarily in a position to where they're going to tell you what they really think is going on. They're going to be more like, yeah, I agree with you. That's a great idea. And so it takes some vulnerability to develop these other relationships that are going to be strong to tell you, hey, this you need to look at this. And it's equally important to develop relationships outside of the marriage that are going to tell you like it is, people that you trust, so that your spouse isn't always the person that's like going, hey, because that's not fair to your spouse. If you're not developing a relationship with other peers, preferably of the same sex, it's usually better if guys are talking with guys and collaborating with guys instead of becoming friends with like guys and girls. And that usually will spin some division. But not allowing your spouse to be your only sounding board and the one who's always having to come to you and going, hey, like, this isn't okay because of these reasons. That makes a big difference, because, you know, as from my perspective, I don't want to have to come to you and like this be like some kind of like picking session. I want it to be about like enjoying our time together. And if you're having solid feedback with another person that you trust and that loves you, that I don't need to be that person. I can just enjoy you for who you are and what you're doing, and only like hit the really high notes if those even come up. But I think that looking back on the 27 years that there are things that I wish we would have learned faster, but it's going to be everybody's own pace.
And I don't think it would have done us anywhere faster or slower or whatever else. I think time is time, and we're here where we're at, and we're in a good spot, and that's all that's important. So
yep.
I don't try to go backwards and try to figure out how we can redo it. I'm just here.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're here.
Yeah. It's good.
All right.
So thank you guys for joining us for this episode of Life and Marriage and Business. And we hope this was helpful. And we absolutely would love for you to hit us up on our website at raiseupmindset.com and submit some questions that we could answer on one of these episodes, and subscribe to our YouTube page.
Yeah, and if you know anybody else that's looking for some help in these areas, have them go to the page too. If they need some advice or something they can do to help with, we can help with that. And if you're a married couple that's struggling to do in your businesses, you're welcome to reach out to either one of us.
Yes, we would love to be a resource and just encourage you. So thanks for joining us.
See ya.
Bye.